Whoa, you press play. Boy, I hope you've watched this week's Gotham Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Flash and Arrow, because that's what we're talking about on episode 9, plus an awesome new app that podcast fans will love. Let's roll.
It's the Jockey Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Welcome. Man, am I excited to be here today.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
There are
always going to be good ones.
Between shows, I'm just like dying to do the show.
We're dying to talk.
Yes.
We don't talk to each other and we don't listen to anything or read any reviews.
You know, yeah, yeah.
We can't do anything.
We've cut off all communication and every week there are storylines that are advanced, characters that are developed, Easter eggs that are revealed.
Yeah.
And it gives me like a permanent geek boner all week. And it's a little uncomfortable.
You might need to see someone about that.
It's a little
doctor might need to.
It's a little uncomfortable. I have like geek Viagra.
Geek boner. Because
of what comes out every week. Anyways, if you're a new listener, you're probably like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? Well, get used to it, goddammit.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
This is how we do it.
And if you have listened to us before, thanks for coming back and listening to episode 9 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name's Imran.
And my name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And that guy is the nerd.
And we're going to take you through our bullshit for the week.
Bullshit about the week and not our lives. We'll throw in our lives, but more or less the shows for the week, if you heard that intro.
Welcome to the hang, people. You're just hanging with us in the Jock and Nerd studio.
Yeah, you're just hanging out.
It's kind of toasty in here because I don't have the window open and I can't run the AC.
Drinking a craft beer and smoking your vape. Right?
Well, I don't have a beer today, man.
No. I'm saying the listener.
Yeah.
The hypothetical listener that would be hanging out in the Jock and Nerd studio.
Absolutely.
Would probably be drinking a craft beer and smoking a vape.
Absolutely. And they'd be flipping through comic books and they'd be like, you know what?
Yeah.
I hated that one part.
Yeah.
And they would be critical of everything because that's what we do.
They'd be wondering like who would win in a fight, Mr. Plastic Man or Mr. Fantastic. Like that's stupid shit like that that really doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. And there's a place for it. And that place is here at the Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Yeah, or in the studio.
Jock and Nerd! That's right. So if you are a new listener, I just want to point out that if you're watching Daredevil, the awesome Marvel's Netflix on Daredevil, and you may still be watching it, you may not be done. When you're done and you've processed it, definitely check out our last show.
Yeah, that last show is the bomb diggity, just because we went 2 hours on...
It was a special breaking format show, and you can find it at jockandnerd.com/Daredevil.
Yeah.
You'll find all the show notes. You'll find the show for your ear hole listening pleasure.
And you'll see... a little bit of a tweak on our logo for
that
show.
It was a special show.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a special cover artwork, so you can't miss it. Go back. You'll see it. It's on our website. Should we describe it? Or should we just have them go see it?
You have to just see it.
All right. What did you think of it, though?
It was pretty funny.
Right?
It's funny, and I can't wait till for the next show. The next show after we record for this one is an Age of Ultron show, so a little tease for that.
Yep.
But... we'll have something in store for the logo for that one.
I will customize that one too. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really
fun. It's just like doodling on our faces.
Yeah.
You know, why the hell not?
I mean, if you've ever seen Daredevil with a black and white beard, if you've never seen a Daredevil like that, you have to check out
the
logo art.
It's a lazy Daredevil. He's like, fuck it, I'm not shaving.
I'm not shaving anything. And I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to color these grave hatches in my beard.
I don't care if it gives me away. Hey, aren't you Dare? Shut up. Talking nerd. Yeah, I got the same beard. I get it.
Oh, it's like a raccoon put on a Daredevil mask.
It's like a fucking Rocket playing, wearing a Daredevil Halloween costume. Oh, my God. Oh, and that's me. I look like Rocket
the human
dressed
raccoon.
Up as Daredevil for Halloween.
God damn. You're really not that. You're not like, you don't look terrible. You look somewhat normal.
Jock and Nerd. Well, thanks, I guess.
You look somewhat normal, Miss Marvel.
I am Miss Marvel.
That's from episode 2 or 3.
Well, listen, if you happen to get to jockandnerd.com/Daredevil and we get you to go to the show notes, there's a couple of links at the bottom of that the show notes that lead to really awesome Daredevil trade paperbacks that we think you would love. We would love turning on people to new stuff. It's the Man Without Fear series by Frank Miller, and it's also Daredevil from the 2012 series from Mark Waid.
Nice.
They're both great stories.
Yeah.
And if you really want to get deeper into Daredevil, if you enjoyed it, use those links to buy them. Because why? Because those are our first official Amazon affiliate links.
And that when you use those links and you buy stuff that we recommend, it supports the show.
It costs you nothing.
Costs you nothing.
You were going to buy it anyways, but we will get a little bit of love and we will thank you forever.
This show is always going to be free, I think.
Yes,
but
forever.
Yeah, it'll be free forever. But doing things like that and buying through the Amazon links on our show just help to keep this show going.
Yeah, it'll help us. It'll help us. If you like it, it'll help us make it better.
Right.
We can. All that it does is it helps us make it better.
Every dollar spent goes right back into the show.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Sure. That's how or, you had the
or,
account.
Or a third party.
Isn't that how you had your accountant draw it up? I think you better talk to your guy.
Leland Owsley is using it from Daredevil.
Oh boy, he's our accountant. We're in trouble.
It's going to Madame Gao as we speak. Heroin is being exchanged.
This is all drug money. Yeah, that's how we fund the show, people. Jockandnerd.com/Daredevil. Visit it for all your Daredevil needs.
Are we done bullshitting? Should we get to the business?
Well, no, I got one more thing.
Oh,
I was I got really turned on to a recent app.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That is business.
That's the business?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the business.
Yeah, it's fun to business. Though.
It's fun business. Yeah. But it's something that I want everyone to know. Recently, the nerd got turned on to an app called Clammr. Mm-hmm. Clammr is...
Spell Clammr, though, because it's differently spelled if you're looking it up.
Well, as everything in the web world, people hate E's for some reason. So you're going to look at Clammr.
Yeah.
Search, go to Clammr.com or search for that in the App Store on iOS right now only, unfortunately. But it's audio Instagram.
It's great.
It is an app where you can curate 18 seconds of audio pleasure, audio tasty bites.
Oh my
bites,
God, you're
audio
using a lot of sexual references.
Bite-sized audio morsels for your listening pleasure. We jumped on it right away. It's very new. I suggest everyone get out on there. I suggest if you are listening to this podcast and you are a listener of podcasts, then you're constantly, like me, looking for awesome audio content and new shows to listen to. Mm-hmm. This is a great discovery platform because it's just enough to keep it moving. And if you like it, there's links there. You can listen to the whole show. If you visit our front page on jockandnerd.com, there's
what website?
Jockandnerd.com front page there. I have embedded a Clammr widget and it has all our best of clips. So how I've been using it is I've been having a lot of fun going through our old shows and clipping things and adding a couple of beats and a little audio branding on top. And I swear it's shit I don't even remember saying.
Oh, well, if you've listened to our shows or if you're a new listener, we tend to bullshit a lot throughout the show. We're not as serious as we'd like to be because we like to have fun. And Imran's been using these clips on our Clammr.
Dude, this has been the best part
of this. To promote the show, which is really funny.
Is going back and be like, oh, that was funny. Did we say that? I don't remember saying that.
No.
For example, here's one of our Clammrs you'll find. Eventually. Jockin' Nerd!
I'm sitting between two of my friends and I'm like,
are they crying?
Well, no, they're not crying because, you know, it's like, I'm not crying. Are you crying?
Not even the old bro. There's something in my eye. Hold on a second.
No, my eyes are sweating.
It's hot in here. My eyes are sweating. I mean, I fucking cry at Undercover Boss every time.
The first image of Ben Affleck sporting the new...
Whoops, and it keeps going
on. So then it'll loop to the next clip. So that's what you heard was a clip from Screen Rant.
Yeah,
ScreenRant.com, where they were promoting something.
Yeah, they have and theirs is great because it's really short clips of all this comic book geek news. And if you follow us at Jock and Nerdcast on Clammr, you'll see I'll put in a couple of our clips, be a couple of other clips now. But this gets crazier because you could take the Clammrs and remix them. You can bring them in, remix them, repost them as a new thing. So I would love if fans take our Clammrs and remix them and just put hashtag Jock and Nerd in there. The other cool thing is another great reason to download to the podcast in iTunes is that you can access your iTunes library. So you can take our show if it's downloaded on your phone and cut a Clammr clip and put beats on it and remix it.
Oh, Clammr is access to the iTunes.
Yes. Right. So anybody can Clammr anything.
You're right, because it's iOS.
Yes. Yeah. It's so much fun, people. Yeah. Check it out. Follow us. Just search for Jock and Nerd Podcast or Jock Nerdcast. It's the same as our Twitter on
Keep
Clammr.
Things consistent. Yeah, Twitter and
I'm
Clammr.
Trying.
No, I'm saying that's what we're
that
doing.
Oh, yeah, that one is. Well, that is. But then some others aren't.
Some of the others, but those two social media mediums are
It's always going to be some form of Jock and Nerd.
Jock and Nerd.
Jock and Nerd something.
Yeah. Really loud. So the Clamor is Jock and Nerd Cast. That's also our Twitter.
Yeah, and it's you can also just record messages right on the phone and send clamors. Mm-hmm. Man, it is fun. I gotta give shout out to Dave Jackson, who has a podcast called The School of Podcasting, yeah. who I listen to a lot of while, you know, to set up this show.
Right.
And he, coming out of New Media Expo, he's the one who talked about it first on a podcast that I listen to.
He's the one that talked about Clamor?
Yeah, he's the one.
They've been giving us a lot
it.
Of love too on Twitter. Like, they've been favoriting and kind of interacting with us.
And
that.
You know, that's another great thing is the founder is very approachable. Like, he's tweeted me, yeah. he's followed us. We're actually, I forgot to mention, that he's going to feature us on the new podcast channel that's on every front page of Clamor.
Oh, has that happened yet?
Yeah, it should be in there. Oh, cool. So every time we post, you'll see it on the front page channels, what they have over there are called channels. So mm-hmm. you can make your own channel. We have a channel. You can follow our channel, which is just our best of clips. And man, it's a great way to promote a podcast. If you're listening to this and you have a podcast, this is how you want to promote it. It's perfect for the format. You know, what I like is people can come to our site, they can check out little 18-second morsels, and if they want to eat a whole show, then they're ready.
Yeah, it's like a little bite.
It's a little taste test.
Yeah, it's a very small piece.
Very small, yeah. But I try to put the best stuff in there, so that's a lot of fun. Other ways you can contact us?
Well, I mentioned Twitter.
Yeah, at Jock and Nerdcast on Twitter.
Right. You can also call us. Leave us a voicemail at 312-248-4376. That's 312-248-HERO.
You can leave us a voicemail there, or you can record an MP3 and email it to show@jockandnerd.com, or just send a regular old text electronic mail.
Yeah.
show@jockandnerd.com. And yes, here's something else new. It's a lot of shit. I know. I'm sorry. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/jockandnerd.
There's a lot of ways you can get to us.
You know, if you're on Facebook, more on Facebook and Twitter, follow us there. You don't have to follow us in all the places. Yeah. I get it. It's just there to get in front of more eyeballs.
Right.
There's different audiences.
We just want to get this to the right audience.
Yeah.
You know, as exposed to as many people as possible, and whoever wants to listen.
You know,
listen.
It's free. I might pay for some posts. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Go there. Don't go there. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Just listen to the show. How about that?
Subscribe
and interact with us.
Interact with us. Send us a mail. Subscribe in iTunes. If you could leave a review, that would be great. Just go to jockandnerd.com/review, and it'll take you right to our iTunes page. And if you stick around to the very end, I got a bribe set up for people. I'm going to tell you at the end of the show.
A bride, like a Russian mail order bride.
The bride of the demon. A bribe.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Bribe.
Oh, bribe.
I'm going to put out a bribe to get people to leave us reviews, and it's going to be really cool, but you got to wait till the end. So you can be an asshole and jump ahead, or you could just fucking listen to the show.
Does that make you an asshole if you jump to the end?
Fucking nerd!
Yes. Okay, fine.
I want to discourage that behavior, because you're missing some fucking gold, people.
Yeah, you are missing gold.
Anyway, show notes for all the shit we talk about in this show will be at jockandnerd.com/9.
Yeah.
I think that's the business.
That's the business. We should go on to the news.
All right.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Jock and Nerd! So there was just a couple of bits of news. Not too much this week.
Yeah.
Right?
You want to start? Yeah, no, not too much.
I'm more excited for these shows, but seeing as how the Avengers Age of Ultron just came out.
Yeah.
Everyone's always like, how's the box office? The numbers are interesting. You know what we forgot to do?
What?
Forgot to do the fucking thing.
What's the thing?
At the top of the show.
What?
With the stats.
Oh, you want to talk about that? That's news.
That is kind of news.
Okay, so we wanted, before we get into Avengers Age of Ultron, we'll delay that just for a second. I love looking at the stats for our podcast and seeing all the different countries that are listening to us. So we want to give a shout out to the region in the U.S. that is listening most to us, as well as the region beside the U.S., not the U.S. that is listening to us in the world.
Okay, so United States, number one downloads come from?
Illinois.
Talking nerd! Thank you, Illinois!
Thank you, Illinois. Miss Illinois, will you please walk down and grab your crown?
Oh, Miss Illinois has won. Now, you know, we do record this in Chicago, so I guess if anyone, it should be Illinois to fucking back us up.
Yeah, well, we are from Chicago.
Way to go, Illinois. All your former governors are in prison, and you are giving us the highest downloads of the show. Two important facts.
Yes.
Talking nerd!
Okay. Then the country that supports us the most.
Drum roll? I don't have one.
No drum roll, but the United Kingdom.
Oh, shit.
The UK, specifically.
I'm looking at you, Northumberland.
Yeah, you. Northumberland.
Thanks for representing. We love Northumberland, United Kingdom, England.
Yeah, we like that place.
I believe it's also called like the Northwest region. That's what it shows up in. But then I looked at like
it's Northumberland.
It says Northumberland.
Yeah,
those, I love the ring of that.
I like those people.
You guys in Northumberland, send us a mail. Send us a tweet. You know what? You might not be able to call a voicemail line. It might be kind of pricey.
Yeah. But if you do, we would appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. We get a call from Northumberland. Yeah. We don't have a toll-free line, unfortunately.
No, we don't.
But I think send us some email.
An email would suffice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, very happy that the show is getting out international.
Yeah.
Across the pond.
Yeah, across the pond. There's a bunch of different countries.
We're going to try to play some... we'll play some promos of similar podcasts from across the pond and try to cross the cyber pond with our audience.
Cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
Create new flowers.
That's the podcasting community.
All right, let's go. Now we can get into the news.
Okay, good. I'm glad we got that out of the way because shout out to Northumberland. Once again. So Avengers just came out the other day. And of course, everyone is wondering, is it going to make more money than the first movie? Is it going to be top grossing? And this from Coming
Certainly on pace to make more.
Yeah, dude, comingsoon.net. First of all, what I heard is after the Thursday night showing, it already made $300 million worldwide. But this is regarding the domestic numbers. It says, after grossing $27.6 million in Thursday previews, the Marvel Studios sequel has reported an estimated $84.5 million for its opening day, including those previews, the second biggest single day at the domestic box office after Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which opened up with $91 million.
That's crazy.
In the summer of 2011.
I don't know what's more impressive, though, because...
Holy shit, dude.
Inflation and shit. I mean, 2011.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's still fucking a lot of money for one day.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
That
I mean, people
insane.
Are... It's good for the franchise. It's good for the industry.
Yeah. It's good. I like that.
People are flocking.
I'm a huge Marvel fan, so. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
It just gives us more stuff to look forward to. But man, dude, they're killing it already.
Yeah.
And it's just been a day.
Yeah.
They're going to make all their money back. Needless to say.
That was without question.
You think You think anybody even questioned that?
No.
You're like, should we? You think this is a...
Nah,
just fucking take my money, Marvel. I said it before.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again when I go see the movie. Or, yeah.
Yeah. We've seen the movie. We're just not talking about it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to play this game where we didn't already see the movie. You'd have to listen to the next podcast.
We're not going to talk about it.
But in this one.
Make sure you check the next show.
Jock and Nerd podcast number 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the other little bit of news, which relates more to this show's content, is that Flash Arrow spinoff show that everyone's been excited for, I have.
Geek Booner.
It's going straight to series.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Not even getting a pilot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, we'll know when it's starting. It's kind
Pretty
of getting
soon.
A premiere date. It's only being referred to as The Atom right now. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, but there was also a subtitle, something like Legends of Tomorrow.
That sounds weird.
But should it be called The Atom? It should just be called like the Justice Society or the Justice League.
Or All-Star Team Up.
All-Star Team Up would be a great name for the show.
Yeah, right? Superhero Team Up.
I think you got to do Justice something just to kind of tie it in, kind of to fool people enough to be like, oh, this is Justice League, but it's not.
Right.
But it is. But it's not. But it is. But anyways, they're starting production August of this year.
Okay.
And the show's going to be ready January 2016.
So I wonder how long it's going to be. Maybe it's mid...
Well, isn't that mid-season. When did Carter run?
That was around the same time.
I think they're going to do the
like
same
eight
thing.
Episodes?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Everyone's going to jump on this bandwagon of doing spinoffs
in the break
to keep it rolling, which is awesome.
Genius idea.
Just if it's done well, I'm there, dude.
I like
it. Let's do it.
I like it.
Geek boner.
Give
me a huge geek boner. Yeah, that's it.
That's
really light on the news.
Light
Nothing
on the
really,
news.
No trailers came out, whatever. Fuck it. I'm really excited about these shows.
Yeah, before that, though.
Yeah.
Before that.
Yes, before.
Before that. After that.
Before that,
we got a promo, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Should you just play it?
Yeah, I'm just going to play it.
Ghost ships, alien parasites, planetary crime lords, and galactic godfathers. Life beyond the borders of the Solar Alliance can be dangerous. Find out just how dangerous with Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Are you a fan of classic science fiction adventure? Join me, author and narrator Mike Luoma, each week for Glow in the Dark Radio, the free science fiction podcast where I read you my stuff. Find the show at glowinthedarkradio.com or search Mike Luoma and or Glow in the Dark Radio on iTunes. Listen now for my soon-to-be-released new novel, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. The book arrives May 23rd. Pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes now. Hear a chapter each week on Glow in the Dark Radio. More information at glowinthedarkradio.com.
The
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Jock and Nerd! Okay, peoples.
All right, so if you're a new listener, by the way, we spoil the shit out of every show, and we swear, obviously. So just be...
you don't say. I didn't notice any of that.
No, but you fuckers that are listening, we're going to spoil everything. So,
but listen, you know, every show is somebody's first show.
Exactly. So we're going to have to keep doing this.
And it would be irresponsible for us to proceed without our...
Talking nerd!
Spoiler alert comment.
We are responsible to the people.
Disclaimer. We are responsible to the geeks at large. Yeah. If you have not watched this week's Gotham...
There's also jocks that listen to this shit.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm biased. Well, you have to speak for them, my friend.
I speak for my...
You're the only one I know.
The awesome people that are in the jock clans that are out there.
But listen, if you haven't watched this week's show, please stop right now.
Yeah.
And come back later. Now, if you've watched some of them, that's perfectly acceptable. Mm-hmm. You take a look in whatever you're listening to this in right now. Either tap the thing or scroll up and you will see in the show notes, there's time code for all the shows we're talking about. So say you just want to hear one of them, you just jump to that time.
Yeah.
You want to hear another one, you jump to that time. Maybe you want to go back and hear what we thought about something, you can jump to that.
I don't know why you'd want to jump around though with all our tremendous bullshit that,
exactly.
we're stammering
out. Again, I do not recommend this behavior, but it needs to be said because we want people to have control.
Yeah.
Control over their audio destinies.
Yeah.
And you have it here with podcasting.
That's the beauty of podcasting.
Talking nerd! It's the future! Anyways, the first show, let's do Gotham. This week's Gotham, episode 21.
The anvil or the hammer?
Yeah.
So this is the first episode that we've had on the show that I'm actually going to praise a little bit.
Can I just say that we have had a torrid love affair with this show?
Yeah. We've been making sweet love to this show.
I think we need to make up with the show a little bit.
Yeah.
We were very harsh on you, Gotham. Gotham, listen, if you're listening, with the Jock and the Nerd are here. We have an edible arrangement with us to make you feel better. We're very sorry.
It's going to be pineapple cut into like a flour.
We're dipped in chocolate, of course. It's great. Yeah. Listen, but that's just one part of us making up. We are sorry we were harsh on you coming back from the break.
Yeah.
And we understand that, you know, you had to tie up the fucking stupid Fish Mooney storyline.
Well, they just completely ignored it, actually, in this episode.
I'm saying from the break.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back. But since then, everything has been building up really good, Gotham. You've been giving us lots of love.
I mean, you're still the worst show out there out of all the superhero shows. But
and we'll get to that at the end of the show.
But you were better today. You're better this week.
But Gotham, you're getting better, and we're sorry. We still kind of love you.
You're like a developing kid.
So that's us. That's the Jock and Nerd makes up of Gotham. Why do we make up? Because the stuff that they've been doing has been getting really interesting.
Yeah.
What did you like?
First off, can I talk about one thing I don't like? Let's get this out of the way.
It's inevitable.
They would write Barbara to have sex with a fucking psychopath murderer.
Well, that's funny because remember the last show? I was like, Barbara's either brilliant or stupid. No, Barbara's indeed stupid. There was no. I was an idiot to think that.
You thought there was something where she was maybe a little higher, like a class of a woman. Better.
She basically wakes up the next day and she's like, "Oh fuck, what did I do?"
Yeah. No, she wasn't even "oh fuck." She was like, "Oh, this was okay. This was fun."
No, she's stupid. She thought she could just leave.
Yeah. I mean, this guy just showed you his sex torture chamber, and you're like, "Oh, this is normal."
Oh, she thought, "Oh, this is gonna be fun. Yeah. I'm gonna do a little 50 Shades of Grey, and I get out of here the next morning.
Little spanky, spanky, and I'm out."
Fucking dumb idiot! What an idiot! So, a lot of what she did again confused me.
That and then that confused me, and then like her like comatose state at the end.
Exactly. Well, let's go over her storyline real quick.
Okay.
What happened to her?
She gets captured.
She gets captured. She gets shackled up in the fucking thing.
Yeah.
She gets a hood on her head. She's just stupid. I thought it was interesting. He keeps insisting she's the one.
Yeah.
She goes, "I've been doing all this to find you. You are the one. Will you?" I don't know what he want. What did he want? He wanted her to join. I almost felt like he wanted her to join him killing people.
Yeah. Well, then he like puts an ultimatum on her, like, "I'll kill you," or tell him.
Oh shit! That was fucked up, dude.
Or you have to tell me who to kill.
And then you know they cut away. She whispers a name, and I'm like,
"Oh shit!"
You're thinking it's Gordon,
dude. What is wrong with her? She told the ogre to kill her fucking parents.
Well, there was that one scene earlier in the season where she like visits her parents.
Yes.
And it was really awkward.
That really random scene. But so it didn't really set up that they were, I mean, they didn't know her.
They knew her, but they were like, "Why are you here again?"
They didn't recognize her or something, right?
It was so strange.
So that was meant to be like she has a shitty childhood and she hates her parents enough. I mean,
hates her parents enough to have them killed by a psychopath killer.
I mean, at first she was like, "I can't, you know, what are you going to do?
Well,
it's either me or give, why don't you just name like a random person?"
There was a one scene part where she like gets a drink of water or she drinks something, and I thought maybe she like was hypnotized a little bit, because in that whole scene with her parents, she's acting like she's like not herself, well, like a ghost.
I didn't get that at the end when Gordon and Bullock get there and they find the parents dead, and I was like, is she drugged?
Yeah.
Is she brainwashed?
Yeah.
Is this the Stockholm syndrome?
Right.
I don't fucking understand. Like, it's
she almost gets her throat slit.
Yeah.
But it's like, why are you writing her so retardedly?
Why
are you writing her so weirdly?
Gordon is a badass shot, though.
He
took that shot was awesome. Like when Bullock like distracted him for a second, and boom, I was like, "Oh fuck, that was a great shot to the head."
They wrote her out though. Like she has to basically go to a mental facility now.
If
they were building her up to maybe be like a psychopath villain, I could see where this was going.
No, but does she become Mrs. Gordon? Is this the same Barbara?
That's the destiny of it, her in the comics, which is really weird that they're going this route. If
but
that's what they're doing.
In the comics, was his wife named Barbara and his daughter was named Barbara? Or did he name it? Is it possible that he could name his daughter in honor of this Barbara who
If you
he
know
has
the answer, let us know, because we actually don't know the answer. I know that he cheats on her with Sarah Essen.
Yeah.
You know, I did read something too. Gosh, we're bashing this show. That this show just hates women.
No, we'll get to... Oh, boy.
This show just... Like, the person that runs the... the chief, she's a woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's like incompetent. She's always like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? And like Barbara is just like, oh, I don't know.
She does seem to always get the news last.
Like all the women on the show are like,
man, it's tough.
Written bad.
It's
but should we go on to the good things?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's well, you brought up Barbara, and she's
the worst part of the show.
The shit out of me.
Oh, and then Fish Mooney, another badly written woman on the show who
but
wasn't
she's,
in this episode.
But she's at least tolerable to watch. Like, it's over the top entertaining. Barbara shit, I'm like, what the fuck? What is going on? I don't understand this character. I don't understand your motivations. It's all over the place. What is going on?
Yeah, and then you write her to have sex with a psychopath.
And murderer. Yeah, and she was all about it. Like,
she was into it.
Wow. I didn't
what
know.
What a moron.
Yeah, just kill my parents. It's fine.
What
That's
did
cool.
I like about the show?
what else did you like?
Well, I did like the penguin stuff.
Uh-huh.
With Maroni and Falcone. I like the swerve.
Yeah, clever penguin, dude. He is always he's working all angles.
I like that he sees the big picture and realizes he's got to take both out.
So he essentially set up a gang war between Maroni and Falcone.
So that'll be fun.
Using those poor hitmen. I felt sad for them.
Using the Lucky Charms guy.
Yeah. Oh, is that the guy from Austin Powers?
That's who I keep every
it
time
looks
he
like
shows.
Him. It totally looks like
they
him.
They have to be like referencing that, and which is just ridiculous.
You know what else I also give him credit for was the fact when the hitman actually Oswald wants him to say certain words, and the hitman's like, I never understood it. When do I gotta tell a guy a message before I take him out? Yeah. I don't get the point.
Yeah, that's always a thing in villains.
And I was like, oh, that was great. Yeah. I was like, great way to bring that up because you're right.
Yeah,
but we find out why he needed that was necessary because they gave him shitty guns. They jammed and they got fucked.
Yeah,
now Maroni's like, oh, you're gonna see. I'm coming after you now.
Well, he thinks it's Falcone.
Yeah, and you know, and that great montage at the end where he gets the guy's head at Falcone's desk, and they start hitting. Maroni's guys are hitting Falcone, and it's a gang war. It ends with the DA coming out saying, "Everyone's on duty. It is a gang war."
Yeah, which is what I wanted to see.
That's great.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to see is the gang war between those two guys, those two families.
And fucking Oswald set this up.
That's great.
Wow.
What else did I like?
We want to talk villains. We could the Enigma bit was kind of fun.
Oh, with the letter.
Yeah, and it was continuing off last week's episode.
Oh, I did write. Yeah, that scene where he's like with the body parts was pretty fun.
That was great. He's killed Kringle's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he has her in parts, and she comes knocking on the door.
Has him in parts.
And I guess was he gonna like dissolve it in acid?
Yeah, no, he like burned off the skin.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, and then he just had the bones. And
I thought she was gonna notice like his clothes at one point.
Were his clothes just hanging out there?
No, like his pants, his legs still had his pants on it.
Oh, really?
When she saw it. Oh. And I love it. She's like, I don't know how you do this. And he goes, you have to have a sense of humor. That's great.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then he gets a little creepy and he smashes the skull. And while he's mentioning, I should write a letter to her.
Yeah.
And then
writes a letter.
And I think we get technically our first riddle on paper.
Yeah, Enigma spelled out.
He does that thing where the first line of each sentence.
It was a letter from the dead guy saying that he left her.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't watched, which all of you have, so what the fuck am I telling you?
Sorry. spoiled. But no, if you listen to this, and she's like, why do I pick these guys? So good move on his part to kind of make her realize that like maybe you need someone else. But wow, what a fucking creep show this guy is.
Yeah,
it's great.
I really liked. I actually did like the Gordon hunting down Ogre.
Yeah,
in this I liked. My favorite though is Donald Logue is just having a blast.
Dude, he's great. I've always loved him in everything.
He the Italian suits line where he tries sneak into the brothel.
He's like, you're not going like that.
Yeah, and then the best was him in the brothel seeing all this weird shit. It was like Eyes Wide Shut. It's like Stanley Kubrick. Like all this weird shit's going on. And then like they bring out the main attraction. You hear like drills, and he's just like, oh no, no. Great. He's like in horror. And he just pulls out his veins. Like GCPD, nobody move. And he points at the stage, especially you two.
And he was all about it.
But the way he's looking around, like oh my god. And he's like no, 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 no. He's like, this can't be happening.
Oh hell no, I'm shutting this down. You guys first.
You two on the stage.
What the fuck were they doing on stage? You did hear like drills.
Really, like slapping, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is fucking going on?
That scene, I love it. It was so just absurdly over the top. Like, wasn't there a dude in like a penguin outfit?
There was like dudes tied up, and like everyone's wearing masks.
Weird cosplayers, and it was like their version of Eyes Wide Shut.
So that I like that part of the Gordon hunting the
ogre. It was smart for him to send, but for a bit there, I was like, wait, why is he there again? Like, what was the point of going there?
Well, there was a lady that the ogre beat up.
Yes, a regular.
That she got, and she kind of got out, but he left her some scars.
Well, she was his first victim before he started killing
before
people.
He started killing,
and she's all scarred up. And I love how she's like, look, if you find him, don't arrest him. Just take care of him. Yeah. And Gordon's like, you got it.
Yeah.
He's like, Gordon, no problem.
Gordon's just done.
No fucking problem. Yeah. That's awesome. That's what I wanted him to see.
Well, he's not Batman, so he should be a little bit more ruthless. What else was good?
I mean, the ogre was very clever. He was always a step ahead of him. You know, they get to his apartment, and then he gets a phone call from him. And you're like, God damn. And they get there too late. And then that whole showdown with Barbara and the dead parents. And then boom to the head.
Then that was good. And then there's the last storyline was the Bruce and Bunderslaw.
I'm glad we saved this because goddamn,
geek boner.
There was a major geek boner.
Oh, who was the guy that we saw for the first time?
It was the only, the biggest one of the episode for me.
Yeah.
So setting it up, basically, Bruce was he gets the key from Selina.
Right.
You know, and Alfred's going to ID the body, and he goes on the tour. He slips into Bunderslaw's office, gets busted. Of course, Bunderslaw standing right there. And I love it because now this is the meat of the matter. This is when our character, young Bruce Wayne, is starting to realize what the fuck the real world is all about.
Right.
Bunderslaw's like, look, I understand what you're doing. I appreciate it. But this is how we do business. Your dad, bless God rest his soul, he was the same way. But he came around to see that this is the reality of business. Mm-hmm. Pretty much that Wayne Enterprises is committing crimes in it for profit.
Right.
And then someone turns around and oh shit. Fucking Lucius Fox.
Lucius motherfucking Fox.
Young Lucius motherfucking Fox.
Young ass Morgan Freeman.
And
no, not at all.
And not at all. But in the very little dialogue he had was so good.
Yeah.
Like that's how they should write the rest of the show. It was short and it was to the point.
Do you have what he said?
Yes. Remember they walk over and like he didn't waste any words. It was so great. They walk over to the elevator. He goes, I know your father well. He was a true stoic. He kept his best self hidden. He goes, you can learn something from that. So there,
right there
is the dual identity.
Batman.
Use the wisdom of your father. You be a fool up front. You keep your best self secret.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, God damn, that's great.
I had a quote too that he was like, I don't know if he said it, but someone was convincing Bruce that it was his father was a good man. He go, even good men have secrets.
Yeah, that was where it ends. Yeah, that was later.
Later.
That was later. So after that, Bruce comes clean to Alfred finally.
Right.
He goes,
he
tells him everything about Reggie. And I think Alfred kind of knew, but he tells everything about Selina and he kills him. But, and again, Bruce he's coming to terms with it. He goes, you know, my father was a good man. And,
well, when you're that age too, when you're a kid like that, you're like, you just see things black and white. My dad is either good or he's bad. Like,
but so now he's realizing his father has secrets. Remember he cut out the photo and put it on his wall of like crimes to follow everything. And now he suspects his dad.
Yeah.
It's flipped on his dad. That was great.
Well, he's going to figure out though. Probably his dad wasn't involved.
Yeah.
His dad was involved, but not like nefariously. No,
yeah, he wasn't implicit. It was probably out of his control.
Right.
And like this, Wayne Enterprises is a lot more powerful than one guy. Like right.
He was
the board
picking
of directors,
and choosing his battles.
Yeah, as all of these corporate bad villain companies go, the board of directors is making all the plans, and the guy's actual CEO can't do shit.
Exactly.
That's just how it works. Yeah. That's how movie logic works. So dear Gotham, you get an XOXO from us this week.
Yeah, you get a nice little kiss.
And keep it up.
Maybe a hug.
We'll give you a bro hug.
Yeah, we'll give you a bro hug. We'll give you
half hug with a handshake.
Yeah, where you like handshake and then you like bump a little bit and you like a little tap on the back and you're like, nice job, Skipper.
And listen, if you keep this up towards the end of the episode, I will full on grab your ass.
Yeah, we'll have a nice ass grab.
Doc and Nerd.
Jock and Nerd. That makes you giggle.
That sweeper music where I don't finish the word cast. It's just, it makes me laugh every time.
Podcast.
You screwed me up. You edited me out.
And then it just echoes it out and kind of, who knows what you're saying? Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, moving on.
Flash.
To the Flash. Holy crap.
This is season one, episode
20. Episode 20.
The Trap.
Oh my God. This episode, it was chock full of, oh shit. One after another.
Geek moment.
Holy crap, dude.
Just really ramped up.
The fucking opening. The goodness and the Easter eggs and the juiciness in that opening alone. Because remember where we last left them was an oh shit.
Oh shit.
They had found Wells' fucking room.
Right.
They were staring at the newspaper from the future.
Yeah.
I remember we were like, where's Gideon? When's he showing up? What's going on? Well, it picks up right there. The first oh shit, well, I mean, I don't even know where to start. They're reading the story. They notice the date. Cisco drops some more references to Marty and the Polaroid from Back to the Future. And he's like, is this a causal nexus? I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a real thing.
Who fucking knows?
That's a real thing. And then you see,
oh shit,
the story is written by a byline, Iris West Allen.
Yeah.
And you know, if you notice, if you are a real geek and you Google like me, the byline was different before.
Oh, really?
When we saw it, it was like a Evan Gibson or something from the last time, probably the first episode.
That's why Harrison Wells kept checking that to make sure the future, at least some parts of the future are intact.
So that newspaper is kind of his barometer.
Yeah.
Like things are constantly changing.
Right.
He just needs the main headline to stay the same.
Right.
Also, we find out that Barry becomes the director of CSI in the future,
mm-hmm,
of the Central City Police Department.
Yep.
And then Gideon proceeds to go founding member of, and then he cuts her off. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Why'd you stop?
Yeah, you were definitely going to get the Justice
He's
League.
Like, I know who you are. You're Barry Allen, the Flash, founding member of. He's like, how do you know? I was like, what? No, why would you cut her off there?
Yeah.
And then
do you want to know? So I read someone zoomed in on the paper. Have you heard?
Yeah, there's more Easter eggs.
Yeah, there was a ton of Easter eggs on that.
What else? There's a reference to Green Arrow instead of Arrow and Hawk Girl.
Hawk Girl, yeah.
They mention Hawk Girl.
And we know now that this crisis isn't like infinite. It's not a tease to infinite crisis. It's just Flash and Reverse Flash fighting at a super speed and then disappearing.
That's what the crisis was.
Because a lot of the people thought, and me included, the first episode, that meant they were teasing Infinite Crisis.
Right, which is that storyline, huge storyline.
Where Flash did disappear.
Right.
But it's not that crisis. Whoa. It's a different crisis.
Yeah.
Because as a superhero, you're involved in many crises.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that opening. And we also found out that,
oh shit,
Barry created Gideon.
You did.
And she'll take any command from him, and she covers for him willingly and happily.
That's fun.
Wells is coming up, and they zip out, and Wells is like, Gideon, everything's all right? She goes, yep. I was like, right on, she's covering for fucking Barry. He fucking created. How does he have AI experience? I love the bit where Cisco's like, look, I'll just wipe Hal's memory. Yeah. Another reference to, 2001. And they open the memory core and he goes, nope, that's not happening.
No at all. Not
at all.
Because
it's some fucking crazy futuristic 3D memory core. It's not like you could just pull the RAM card and fucking step on it.
You can't just unplug this shit.
No.
No.
So, I mean, the questions that the team got answered right away is that Wells, at that point, Wells is here to kill Barry. Wells did indeed kill Nora because he was angry Barry escapes.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Wells needs him to become the Flash. Now, the whole episode got me confused. Like, half the time they're saying, Wells is here to kill Barry. But Wells himself goes, no, I don't need you dead. I need your help. I need you to be this person.
Yeah. There was also a bit in there where Cisco, obviously Cisco's the best in the show, but he jokes around. He's like, oh, I like that suit.
Well, that was the white logo. That was the causal nexus comment, because he goes, wait, if I saw that now, does that mean that I'm going to make it? And that's that's the future suit that's going to. He's like, oh boy, this is Marty and the Polar. But, you know, that's probably why he modifies that suit, because the suit is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a, it is, it's a little more streamlined.
Yeah, a little streamlined, more streamlined, more like the comics.
That opening for me, just the tip of the iceberg, because a lot more shit happened.
Right.
What else did you like?
Speaking of Cisco, so when they, that part where they're trying to get him to go back and dream so that he remembers the alternate reality.
The lucid dreaming device that they made.
Joe West gives him something, the drink, and he's like, I'm not drinking this. He's like, and then he's like, just drink it. And then he's like, okay, I'll drink it. Like, just his delivery.
Yeah.
He was like, he's just like, no, I'm not drinking that. And then they give it to him. He's like, just drink it. Like, okay. A stern dad. He's like, all right, I'm drinking it.
And
then
he's like, I don't fall asleep easy. Boom. And boom, it knocks him right out. You know, it's another fun Easter egg. Those goggles, someone had mentioned, and I'll put a link in the show notes, jockandnerd.com/9. They kind of look like the goggles Vibe wears in the comic book.
Oh, nice. I didn't notice that.
You know, and I'm just going to go ahead and break this. Greg Berlanti, after that episode aired, Greg Berlanti tweeted this. The last run of The Flash Eps continues tonight. Here are your clues to the remaining Eps. #Vibe.
Whoa.
#Grodd. #Rogues. #ReverseFlash. #WatchLive. He pretty much confirmed that Cisco will be Vibe by the end of this episode.
Yeah, I didn't know. That's news to me. I didn't know that Vibe was going to be. I knew about Flat Reverse, Rogues, and Grodd, but I didn't know that Vibe.
And I'll put a comicbook.com. I had this article. I put a link in the show notes. But he's going to be, that's what I've been waiting for. He's going to be fucking Cisco Ramon will be Vibe.
Which is cool.
It's going to be awesome.
What else did I like?
So that whole, I love that, the lucid dreaming part.
That was great.
Because Barry's like, you know, that's at that point, the whole team finds out what happened. That the series of events in this side flash, that he confesses to doing this and that he kills him. And so Barry's like, I got a bad idea.
Yeah.
How about we just do it again?
They just come up with their game plan.
And they want to try to record it.
Right.
And get him on air.
But we know that game plan, what's his name? Wells has got eyes everywhere.
Wells has got eyes everywhere. So what ends up happening? Why they do it. They think they get him. I love how this show does this.
Yeah.
Turns out, boom, Wells was watching them the whole time. The Reverse Flash had set a reverse trap.
He set up a trap and he used every man to execute the trap.
He used the shapeshifter from the last episode to play him, which is great because when Cisco, you know, he goes, I can reverse this thing to make a force field, and he fucking walks right through it. I was like,
oh, shit.
Ah, this is not going to work.
It shows the genius of the writing of the show, because like you thought, oh, every man's just another character.
Just how.
But they dropped him in just. Like, he was a key piece in this plot.
Yeah, and we find out Wells is on a rooftop somewhere, and he goes, look, I'm sorry. I really enjoyed working with you guys. I didn't want it to end this way. We will meet again soon.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Barry. The future will happen. I was like, God damn, dude.
Yeah.
Everything is out. I mean, by the end of this episode, everything's out.
Everything's
in the open.
Out, including Iris knowing that Flash
yes,
is very
let's
out.
Talk about that, because that's kind of funny, because she was kind of annoying, but she...
She was a little better this episode.
I don't know. Well, first of all,
well, before that, her. So again, another way where Joe West is just like writing her to write, like kind of controlling her life, where he like doesn't approve.
He's being a very overprotective father.
Where he doesn't approve of Eddie, and then his reasoning too. He was like, because she feels obligated, so she's gonna say yes, of course, because she feels responsible. It's like. Wait, like you don't trust your daughter to make a good decision?
No. you know, because so Eddie.
Like,
asked,
it's very like we can't, like, Iris can't think for herself. I have to think for
I
her.
Love when he asked Joe's blessing and he goes,
nope.
Nope, just straight up nope.
And he just walks away.
And, then he gets, he's like, we gotta go. And I was he's like, wait, what? I kind of liked it because to me, it felt like Joe is really trying. To fix Barry and Iris's destiny.
Right.
He's obviously seen it between them his whole life, them right. growing up together.
Yeah.
Like, they don't see it, but he sees it. His reasoning was kind of, I was like, wow, you're really looking out for your daughter. It was valid.
So then we get to her. Oh, excuse you.
Sorry.
Is that the black lung?
A little bit. I should have got more water. No, but I'm just smoking e-cigs. SARS. I shouldn't have smoker's cough with the e-cigs.
SARS.
It's healthier. So Iris finally, it only takes her 20 episodes.
Yeah, it's not too long.
To put together that maybe these crazy metahuman events are tied together with the particle accelerator.
Holy fuck. I didn't realize that she just figures this out
this
episode.
That bit was hilarious because they said it to make it seem like she was going to confess her love to Barry. And Barry was like, oh boy, what's happening here? Is she going to say it? And she goes, I think this thing is all connected. I'm like, dumb idiot. Thanks.
Wow.
And then we see in the flashback. So this whole episode had these awesome flashbacks that happened. Was it like 9 months ago now or 12 months ago?
Yeah, when he first went into
the accident. He's in the hospital and it's Joe's there. Wells is there. We see Joe and Wells' first meeting.
Yeah. Where, he didn't trust him even
where Wells is like, look, take, give him, let him send him Star Abs. I can help him. And, you know, and Joe still blames himself. He's like, this is all my fault.
But what the beauty of this show is that, like, whereas, like, Arrow, they always blame themselves for everything. Like, this one, it's like, Barry's such a good guy. He's like, no, don't blame yourself. Like, things happen because they happened.
And, yeah,
like,
they counter that very quick.
You always.
Always
let it go.
Yeah.
It happened, and let's let it go.
Which really adds, it kind of adds to the joy of the joy. Fun part instead of making it grim like an Arrow.
Yeah.
Because that's also a great way to deal with it. Like, I don't disagree with that. Because he's right. It's like, look, you have no control. Like, and everyone is annoyed when you're constantly blaming yourself.
Right.
Anyways, in this flashback at the end, Iris reaches for Barry and she gets a little electric shock. You know, it's just like if you get static electricity, right? Mm-hmm. Fine. Whatever. At the end, Iris and Eddie are there and fucking Reverse Flash shows up and snatches Eddie and Barry comes and he's like, don't worry, don't talk to anyone, I'll save you. She reaches out to him as he runs out and she gets the same spark. And then she finally realizes that it's Barry is the Flash. Uh-huh. It only took you 20 episodes. Congratulations, Iris West.
You still look very nice, but...
you look great and welcome to the club.
But not the swiftest.
Well, but now it's a thing where, you know, Barry doesn't know she knows, and is he going to play it off, or is he going to be like, oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't tell you, I'm a dick, I didn't tell you.
Big key point out of that scene, though, is Eddie getting captured by Reverse Flash.
That end bit was great.
Realizing that they're distant relatives.
The end bit was awesome.
And him keeping Eddie as collateral.
He's insurance.
Well, he needs Eddie. I think he needs Eddie to be alive.
Well, of course, because if Eddie's not alive... Right. He's not going to be alive. Now, this is a common rule in time travel.
Yeah, what's the rules of time travel?
Basically, you want to take out your enemy, you go kill their grandmother.
Yeah.
They were never born.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you've ever watched Continuum, it's a very crazy time travel show. And in this show, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whether you choose to, and I think Back to the Future, that does happen. They chose it didn't happen. This one, he either needs him because he's not going to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what was great in that scene is where he has Eddie's ring and he just fucking nonchalantly throws it away as if to say, oh, you're not marrying her.
No.
Don't be a fucking idiot.
No.
This is not your destiny.
That's not part of the future.
And I love that line earlier where she goes, he goes, Iris Thawne, that's a nice ring to it. And Barry's like, I think she's going to want to hyphenate. So there's going to be no Iris Thawne Allen or Iris Allen Thawne.
No.
We know that it's going to be Iris West Allen. And Eddie Thawne does that. So he just tosses it.
Well, it would never be Iris. You said Iris Allen
Thawne. I don't know how these last name hyphenations
Allen Thawne, though.
Would it be Allen Thawne? Or
no, it'd be West Thawne.
Oh, I'm getting them all
confused. That'd be Iris and marrying both Barry and Eddie
at
the same time.
No, no. She just marries Barry first. She divorces him. Then she marries Eddie.
Then she drops the West.
No, you keep all the names.
Oh, Allen West Thawne?
It became Iris West Allen Thawne.
Jesus Christ.
This is in the third parallel line that doesn't exist that we're
West Allen Thawne. Your last name is what?
Is with all of them. I don't know. It's all of them. But no, that end scene was crazy because
it was fucking crazy.
He tosses away the ring, but it really ends with the flashback of Wells in the hospital, which I loved.
Where he's like, I'm going to kill you, basically.
He just gets up, and I love how his whole thinking of, he's like, man, if I could have you like you are now, all those previous times. He's like, I can't believe this. Like, the way he was talking, you really feel that they have battled several times, for so long, to the death. And he's like, wow, I could just kill you here and end it. He goes, it's like, how many times I've wished for you to be like this before? And he goes, the irony is, I can't destroy you because I need to create you.
Right.
You know?
The tension between them two was really good when, like, again, there's that dynamic of Wells coaching Barry.
Yeah.
To like, what was he coaching him on?
See, that part was interesting.
What was he coaching him on?
So there's a fire.
Oh, that's right. So he coaches
and
him
Wells
on
calls him and he takes him to the fire.
Yeah.
And the sprinklers are out. And Barry shows him a new, I mean, Wells shows him a new power.
Yeah.
He's like, you just need to rotate your arms, create a vacuum, take all the air out.
Yeah.
And at first it doesn't work so good. Barry's like, nah, it's not working. And then Wells talks him through. He's like, just go faster.
Yeah.
Now, part of me, it kind of looked like Wells had killed the sprinklers.
Hmm.
He had the schematics. He had the sprinkler system. It was red.
Yeah.
While
so
he's going,
trying to accelerate
the sprinklers
Flash's
are down.
Development.
Yes. Yeah. He knows at this point he needs to start learning these powers to get to where he needs to
he
be.
He needs to accelerate everything because he's been watching this whole time and knows that they're gone to him.
I think he killed the sprinklers because when he comes back, Wells goes, why did you die yourself, Barry? You could do this and more. Like, he's trying to get him to be the Barry he needs get him back home.
Because he knows that Barry's onto him. With him having cameras everywhere?
Plus, yes, at that point.
Puts every episode now into a new perspective.
So that whole episode, yeah.
He's
that
known
whole episode,
this whole time.
He knew everything that was going on.
Right, so he's got to excel. Now, that's a good point. He needs to accelerate the Flash's development because Barry's not going to trust him for much longer. Or Barry's not going to work with him for much longer.
But I love the hesitation still. Barry's like,
I almost like him, yeah.
Look, he's a good guy. He has saved me.
Yeah.
But he's a murderer.
Yeah.
He's going to kill my mom.
That's what I'm telling you.
What the fuck do I do?
Wells is a motherfucker.
And so then it ties back to that last line, which was great, where Wells is like, look, and because now not only that, he's been watching Barry grow up. He goes, I've been watching you grow up with no hint of the man you will become one day. No hate for you. You're going to be the man I hate. And then he ends it with, nothing is forgiven. I promise you, Barry Allen, you will die.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, I still don't know. Eobard Thawne needs him.
Oh, he's dead. No, he's a villain now. I thought that this was the episode where it like turned like, well, there are a few couple.
No, he's straight out villain because
he's
been outed. He's like, I'll see you. And I think, you know, in the clips, it's like Reverse Flash and Grodd in the next clip.
He's
and
like unleashing everybody.
He's going to get these guys together on his side.
There was also a clip though I saw where it was like Barry Allen was, Flash was working with like Captain Cold and yeah. Like,
really?
Yeah, he was trying to like, they're working together to get this guy.
Whoa.
So maybe it's like, I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. And then where does Arrow come in?
It's possible, though, that Barry can talk sense into all the rogues and really expose the Reverse Flash to where they're like, oh, no, that guy's way fucked up. Yeah. We'll help you this one time.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
It's another frenemy event that just like happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last week.
So anything else you want to bring
up? Man, no. It was...
I know you got a ton of notes, but I think we covered everything.
There was a couple of... They really love Temple of Doom references. Because did you catch it where the heart Kalima?
Yeah, yeah.
And, why that means a lot to me is because when I saw that movie Temple of Doom, again, I was a kid. You've seen Temple of Doom, right?
Yeah, I saw it, but I don't remember much of
it. So do you remember the guy who played the bad guy, the Kali Ma, reaching into the heart?
Yeah,
His name was Omar Sharif. He was actually a very famous Indian movie star.
Yeah.
And so I had kind of grown up watching Indian movies because my parents watched him. And in that movie...
A lot of Bollywood.
Like, nobody's going to know. Amitabh Bachchan is still my favorite. He's fun. Nobody's going to know that name, but look him up. anyways, he comes from Bollywood, and in that movie, he was speaking Urdu. The whole time, because he is Pakistani.
Oh.
So Kali Ma means black mother. And everything he said, I could understand. So there I am, like 8 years old, watching this movie. And I'm like, oh shit, he's speaking Urdu. Like all of a sudden, I'm watching Indiana Jones and the guy's speaking Urdu. It was crazy.
And you could understand it?
Yeah.
And was he speaking, was he actually speaking sentences that you could understand?
Yes,
like,
because
coherent thoughts.
Yeah, Omar Sharif is Pakistani. That's his background. So it was like natural. It was like me. It was like my uncle was on screen pulling hearts out of people. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
As a Muslim teenage girl,
as a Muslim teenage girl named Miss Marvel, I pulled out lots of hearts of many evildoers, chanting Kalima. Kalima! Anyways, that's about it. I mentioned all the Easter eggs I had, the goggles being Vibe. He's going to be Vibe. Caitlin eventually is going to become Pillar Frost at some point. Yeah, I don't know how
we
that's
know
gonna
that's
going to
happen.
And then, yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff, man.
Good shit.
Jockey Nerd! Another great show. This
Agents
week.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, it was really good.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really, really good. Not really good, but it was a good lead-in.
Second season, episode 19.
The Dirty Half Dozen.
I like the little allusion to the Dirty Dozen. It's an old movie.
I know I've heard of the Dirty Dozen, but what? I'm so fucking stupid. What is that? Is that a movie?
I wish you hadn't asked that. I believe.
Is that a fucking movie?
Okay, I'm going to tap into.
I'm not a fucking geologist.
I know, and I should. I'm sorry. I said I should have fucking Googled this before. But going off of my just straight off the top of the useless shit that's in my head, yeah. The Dirty Dozen.
You're like our Rob Bruce.
Yeah, a little bit. I believe the Dirty Dozen was a breakout war prisoner breakout movie with Telly Savalas in it.
Who was it old?
Kojak.
Old as fuck. 70s. Kojak. I've heard that name before.
Who loves you, baby? Oh my God, nobody knows what I'm talking about now.
Are you dating yourself when you do that?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think we have an older demographic probably that listens.
You guys my age will appreciate that. Yeah. Everyone your age will not get it.
No.
So what'd you think of this show? I started the last one because I was super excited for The Flash.
Yeah.
What did you think? You start this one.
The show was good. I liked the dynamic of having the old team back together. And like... Ward is given this monologue about like how he's sorry and stuff, and then they're all like, you thought it was gonna be a really cheesy moment where they like kind of accept him, and this guy's just like, I'm still happy I shot you.
Yeah, that was great.
But having the old team back and like the tension of having Ward with them on the bus, and like Gemma's obviously plotting to like kill him.
I know,
which is extreme.
Fucking surprising. Gemma is hardcore, but I loved that moment. I was like, oh shit, look, it's the fucking original team.
Yeah.
It's the original six back together.
Yeah.
And
just like old times.
And I love how it was written. Ward is like, look, if I had to, I regret one thing, it's what I did to this group. And he's trying to fucking bullshit him again. Yeah. You can never trust. He's like, we had some good times, right, guys?
Yeah.
Guys?
Yeah.
I'm so glad I shot you. Jeff was like, I wish you aimed for the face.
Ward had actually a pretty good line, too, where he was talking about May. And he's like, May's actually pretty friendly once you get to know her. She just gives him the dirtiest look.
I was like, oh snap, dude. You're going there now. This shit's going to hit the fan. All right. They're like, I mean, he had to address the tension.
Yeah.
And even Coulson was like, as weird as this is, let's go over the plan, guys. What are we doing?
Yeah. No, that was really good. I liked when they were, so they're on the mission to get to List. And they want to get to this like secret Hydra base and get the enhanced people out, which is Deathlok and Lincoln. And that plan where they fly in and they get shot at.
Oh, that was great.
And then they act like they're debris, so they're like falling down. The plane is falling down like it's debris was actually really clever.
I was reading my notes and before the commercial break, I didn't buy that. A minute that happened, at first I was like,
oh shit.
And then I was like, no, they rode that little Quinjet down. And when it came back, I was like, I got it. I was right. And I thought the special effects were kind of cool.
Yeah,
they spent a little bit more money. That whole scene where it's falling, and then right before it hits the ground, it hovers, and you see the debris fall around them. It was kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a very beautiful
and it was
special,
hitting the plane, too.
Yeah.
Like you hear the clanks.
They were just trying to fall with it. I was like, ooh. That's
the only way that we get in.
That was nice. Yeah. That made sense. It was really clever.
So once they get in that base, it looked like to me that, so that, what'd you think of that shot of Sky? Basically,
I saw you
the
tweeted.
One shot.
You know
that's what I. Yeah, I tweeted out that I thought like it reminded me of Daredevil's one single shot scene.
Yeah.
And Avengers actually has one like that too.
Yeah, but I don't know if Marvel is doing this on purpose now.
I felt like they watched Daredevil
and they saw the reaction.
They saw the reaction to it, and they were like, you know what, we're going to recreate this with Sky.
Oh, let's add one of these to every show.
And well,
and
now
every movie.
Now we'll do Sky doing it with, instead of like her punching people, she'll use bullets and. Like spy stuff. I thought it was actually pretty well done, though.
Yeah, here's the problem with a gimmick.
Yeah.
Is the reason you do it is because it's a gimmick.
Right.
You do it once, you do it judiciously,
you
do it with meaning. When you do it fucking three times just because it looks cool, it's going to lose all meaning.
It does look cool.
But it did look cool. It was a lot of shaky camera, cinema verite, you know, in the room.
Yeah.
And it even looked kind of awkward.
She did look like a real, like, she looked like an actual badass for once.
That I was surprised. I also loved it. But you know what? It was like a TV network version of the awesome Daredevil thing.
It was a TV. You could tell the difference in budget.
But I loved how it showed how badass she is. And she, for real, stepped out, used her power, controlled.
Right.
That was fucking great.
Geek boner.
That's what I, jinx. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to be like, boom, I got this.
Yeah.
Boom. And then I love Ward's reaction. He goes, oh, so this is what you've been doing in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
He goes, what the fuck? Where did this come from? She's like, oh, it was great.
It was, what did you think?
I liked where the story went. I liked that it started to set up the Ultron a little bit.
Yeah, it set up Age of Ultron.
It started early where we see List and Bakshi.
Well, they're always referencing Von Strucker.
They're referencing Von Strucker, and they're talking about the twins and how the twins are the only subjects that actually came out and worked. And everyone they're experimenting on, which Lincoln is next on the list. Lincoln is about to go under the knife. Mm-hmm. He's moments away when Sky busts in. But all this is a great setup for Ultron. And then really the last 5 minutes,
last
10 minutes.
Last 5 minutes were all just a big promo for Ultron
setup. But before we get there, there's a lot of great shit. For example, Sky's role in all this. She really wants to help. We see more of Reyna's dreams, and she's kind of telling Sky, look, I'm seeing this shit. They're like, because now they realize, Gordon comes back, and they realize Lincoln is not, he's been taking, he's in a cell next to Deathlok. And Reyna's like, no, you go and you save him. Yeah. I saw it. You're right. The only one in the room with him.
And they're trusting it.
And Reyna's like, what the fuck? And they're like, how do I get back? And then Reyna's like, oh, you're not going back to Lincoln. That's not how you get to him.
Yeah, you gotta go back.
Meaning
to your old team.
They send her back to her old team, and that was awesome.
She's been wanting to get back,
and she—that's all she wants—is to get back. So at that, when they break into that base, I love how this plan. There's so many things. I love Sky made the Sonic the Hedgehog joke.
What did she say
about? She goes, are you supposed to be collecting golden rings or something? The fucking Raider.
Oh, yeah.
She looks a little bit like a Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, that's great. That's
a
good line.
Oh, good dig there. What was I saying?
You were saying some shit. You're talking about them jumping in the
base.
So
the whole thing is she's a precog. She's been having these visions that are informed them to go to the base. So Coulson is going with May to their job is to go with Fitz to the mainframe to knock it down, right?
Right.
Meanwhile, Sky is looking for Lincoln.
Yeah.
Right?
Along with, I think, Ward and Gemma.
Oh, right.
And that's where Gemma is plotting to kill Ward.
That part was weird, dude. When
her turn has been like very drastic.
She was joking with Fitz, but not really. She's like, I'll just plant a splinter bomb on him and poof, no more Ward.
And she like wanted to go on the mission just to kill him.
And yeah, and he was fucking serious. And she was going to kill him at the end.
Well, Bakshi steps up.
Had it not been for Bakshi, she was going to fucking kill Ward. He takes the splinter bomb and goes poof and disintegrates. And I was like, goddamn. And, you know, in the meantime, Ward has her at gunpoint and he's like, I expected more from you.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
And he just fucking takes off.
He leaves.
He's done.
He's got it there.
He's done.
No, and we also have Coulson working with S.H.I.E.L.D. again. Sort of.
Well, you know, that last episode had left off where he's turned himself in. So we pick up where he's talking to Gonzalez.
And then they work out a plan to basically, for the greater good, they got to go and get these enhanced people out of here.
They got to save him. They got to stop Strucker. And listen, I love how happy he is to be back on his bus. Right. That was really nice to see. I was like, oh, he's back on his bus. It's great.
Well, and the plan was that like they're going to, he'll let him look inside the cube if they do.
Exactly. Why is Gonzalez going to trust Coulson? He goes, I'll open the toolbox for you.
Yeah.
All right. We both, but Gonzalez is very, very sneaky.
Yeah.
And Coulson wants his team to go. They know that Hydra has removed Deathlok's eye and his leg.
Yeah.
They took his leg and his eye. And so he's pretty much, and they're in a depowered cell. Both of them. I like that bit where they kind of formally Lincoln and
meet each
and
other.
Peterson formally meet each other.
Yeah, that was good. I'd liked. Should we just get into where they built Age of Ultron? Do you have anything else?
I think it's important to note that Gonzalez is all about fucking risking Coulson's people. No problem.
Yeah,
he's like the send him. It's fine. He's his people, and the fact that he's going to do exactly what Hydra is going to do to them. You know, he was excited. He's like, I didn't expect to get Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have two. We're going
to
study them.
Oh, yeah. Gonzalez is really happy to
have
them.
Dude, he's just as bad as they are.
Yeah, he is.
He just wants to test them.
Well, he doesn't trust anything.
No, he didn't trust anything.
Yeah. And then you had a little, before you get to the end, there's a nice little Mac Hunter bonding again.
They pretty much made up.
They made up.
He's like, that's cool. He's like, I'm sorry.
It's cool you choked me out.
Yeah,
whatever.
You know, you did choke me out, but I understand. Yeah. I love Lance. No, that was that was good to kind of quash that.
Yeah.
I think also before we get to the end, the whole resolution with Cal coming back.
Oh, yeah.
He got back to Afterlife and he wasn't supposed to. And he was making a lot of noise right away. And he was saying out loud, you know, you won't let me be with my daughter. And everyone's watching. And Jiang's
I think that's going to bite them in the butt.
Dude,
them in the ass.
The decision for her to let him stay, not a good
decision. Not good for the community.
She's like, it's okay. You could stay for now. I don't know. She doesn't know what the fuck to do with him.
Yeah.
But it's not a good decision.
No, it's not good for the community.
So that'll be interesting. But really, the whole thing is that end bit was,
oh, shit.
It was good.
It was so great.
Coulson makes the call.
Let's break it down. Yeah. What happens? I mean, so the first thing is that list and mentioning the twins and blah, blah, blah. I think it should start where Coulson actually activates the toolbox. He gives it to him. I love that line. He goes, here you go. He goes, well, he's like, it's all yours until Fury comes looking for it. Yeah. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's going to happen in like Captain America or something.
Pretty
like
soon.
That's going to happen somewhere. And so they, I love how they started the Ultron part with literally Coulson saying spoiler alert. Yeah. And then you see Maria Hill. And then you're like,
oh, shit.
People from the movies are showing up. Whenever people from the movies start showing up, some fucking shit is happening. They're like, Fury, like everything's been resolved.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, Phil, we got bigger problems now.
Well, he lets her onto the bigger
problem. Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah. Because while they were rescuing everyone, Fury was downloading some files on a little jump drive. Mm-hmm. What was on these files, we find out. But before we find out, Jia Ying visits Sky. Reyna.
Right.
She wants to discuss her visions. And she's kind of being a little bit of bossy about it. And I love this because it's setting up the rift in the Inhumans.
Right.
She goes, I want to control when you use your gift. I want to make the decision. And Reyna's like, look, maybe it's time for someone else to start. Before she could finish that thought.
Well, she was built up as being very persuasive throughout these first two seasons. So there was a shot of her talking to a bunch of people.
Yes, she's kind of holding court.
She has like her own little
She's gathering
followers.
Fans, yeah. And she's causing problems and she's building her side.
Well, if you're
side.
A precog.
She knows what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen. People are going to follow you.
Which
and she's always been very seductive and very...
very convincing and persuasive.
Persuasive. There
which,
we go.
Which is great. So as she's about to fucking challenge Jia Ying's authority, she has this vision and she pretty much sees the whole movie Age of Ultron.
She sees
Avengers.
Age of Ultron.
She sees the whole movie right there and she's like, this is bad.
Robots all over the place.
She even says there's a scepter, so much destruction. I see a metal man destroying the universe. I was like, oh, she's seen the movie. I wonder if she could tell us if it's any good.
Yeah.
And then Maria asked Coulson, she goes, okay, why'd you really go to the base? And it's because what he downloaded was the plans of where Loki's scepter is.
Right.
Which contains, apparently, the mind gem.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Hydra has...
You know, you just fucking spoiled Age of Ultron.
The scepter, did I?
Yeah.
Should we cut that out?
No.
No, but I think it's
the mind gem thing wasn't in.
It's
you don't
understood.
Know that yet. No, it's not understood.
Should I go back and not? We didn't know that.
No, it's fine. We just spoiled the plot point of Age of
this
Ultron.
This is the spoiler show.
it's a full spoiler.
Wait, no,
podcast.
Really, is that nobody?
No one knew that yet. I mean, it was rumored.
It's speculated,
but you don't find that out until the movie when they're like, oh, there's a casing. Of the mind gem, and then he opens up the casing, and there's a mind gem.
But is it actually called that? That's when it's first
called. It's not, it's not, but you don't know that it's a gem.
Listen, before I looked up on the internet, and that's what it told me.
Hey, the internet, hey, you could look up a lot of things on the internet, and I'll tell you things.
Is that bad? Should we cut that out?
No.
I feel really bad.
No.
I'm sorry, listeners.
Don't cut that out.
I didn't mean to do that.
Don't ever cut that out.
Juggernaut!
No, well, basically, he basically is like, we got to call in the Avengers. We need the Avengers for this.
He's at the top of the motherfucking Avengers!
Yeah. Oh, you literally, like, you saw that, and you're like, I want to go see the movie
now. It did, that whole bit got me pumped for, so that was Theta Protocol?
Theta Protocol was the Avengers.
Was calling the Avengers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Theta Protocol, oh yeah, that's right. Theta Protocol.
Because she goes, is Theta Protocol ready?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh yeah. It's time to call them Avengers.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, fuck
they
yeah.
They are the Theta Protocol.
I feel really bad. Anyways, you guys will get over
no,
that.
No, don't,
if you haven't
don't
seen
feel
the movie.
Bad. Do you need a tissue, dude? Come on. Don't be a puss.
I need a bro hug. Talking nerd. But I also loved how at the end, when they cut and they go to the 1 minute clip, instead of saying, we'll be back with more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they were like, we'll be back with more Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, and then they showed the bit from the movie. They showed a little clip, and that got me pumped to see the fucking
movie. You really
want
to see the movie.
It was great, great lead into the movie.
It was basically an hour, 45-minute
commercial for the movie. What are you going to expect? Now, if viewers don't see the movie, this will be interesting to see how much of this will be affected, because I kind of get the feeling that, you know, the Marvel movies tend to ignore
everybody's seeing the movie.
The shit over here.
I'm very interested to see, because the last time they tied in after a movie was Winter Soldier, and that was great.
That
That's
was
when
great.
The show really
that
picked up.
That changed the show.
So hopefully this takes a little cue from Age of Ultron. I don't know what they're going to tie into, really, to be honest. Yeah, we'll very curious.
You know, because you're kind of expecting, like the last tie-in, a huge shift in the status quo.
Right. Well, they can do that, or they when they tied in after Thor the Dark World, it was terrible.
And they just threw Sif on there.
That wasn't even it.
Oh, that wasn't it?
It was when they had this like Asgardian weapon. They were cleaning up the remnants.
After the movie. That's right. Yeah, that was weak. This is a direct go here, watch that, come back next week.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one episode left and then the 2-hour season finale. Yeah.
So they're going to ramp
that up. That's all that's left.
Yeah. So overall, good show. Should we go on to the next one?
Let's do it. Do we want to? I think we should, since I spoiled the Infinity Gems.
Yeah.
I want to update people where these gems
are.
We're
going to do that if you listen to episode 10.
But it changes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Episode 10, you'll know where
I'll put a link in the notes.
Yeah, how about that?
Fuck that. Listen to the next show for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jockey Nerd! And we get to the last show for
the
week.
The last show for the week.
It's been a marathon.
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
But there's a lot of good shit, so you can't blame us.
Arrow. Season 3, episode 21. Ah, Saheem.
You know what? I thought it should be Al Saheem because generally in Arabic, like name prefixes, it's always Al something. And it just kind of means like family of or its lineage.
Oh, yeah. This is your weekly dose of Arabic, by the way.
But I know this is like Arabic lessons every fucking time. Dude, we should have my sister on. She speaks like 9 languages.
Holy fuck.
Actually,
my dad speaks that many languages.
Really?
Like around 6 or 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Just did he have to learn any extra for work?
Languages.
He just loves languages. Yeah. I'm convinced some people's brains can handle that. My sister is definitely one of them. But, you know, she's been in the Peace Corps and stuff and been around the world, so she's learned languages from where she... But she just picks it up.
Really?
Like, I don't know how
many, what languages do you know? Does she know? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, if this is wrong, I'm sorry, my sister, if you're listening, but English, Urdu, French, Arabic, Russian, then she can go to Uzbekistan and speak Uzbeki. And then there's a Moroccan is like a combination of actually French and Arabic together.
Fuck.
Which is way mind trippy because one is a Latin language and one is a Persian language. Yeah. I'm like, how do you know when to use French and when to use fucking Arabic? I have no idea. And then I can't remember the other two. They're dialects of the other central. They're like central.
How does she Russian though fit into that?
She was in fucking, she worked in Moscow, dude.
Nice.
She worked there. She's been all over.
She's a Soviet.
Yeah.
No, she's not.
She loves Russia though. Let's say, she loves the country and, the great people, like she, that time in her life meant a lot to her, but she just fucking learns all these languages.
That's awesome.
So, why are we talking about this? Because it should be Al Saheem. I guess Ah is also a prefix. I didn't look it up. If somebody looks it up, let us know.
Yeah. So, to start, did you hear as a new intro?
His
speech in the beginning.
Oh, it changed. They changed the clips. They show him becoming the Dark Archer.
He
dude.
Also says, you know, usually it was like to save my city or to honor my my friend's memory. Usually says like it's either like to save my city, I must do this. To honor my friend Tommy's memory, I'll do this.
Yeah, I must this become one, something else.
Yeah, this one he starts with to save my sister.
Oh shit. Yeah. I missed that. Yeah, that's great.
He totally changes it. So it's like to save my sister, and then he goes into his little speech.
So it's almost like episode by episode that they'll
not episode by like.
What does that mean? This overarching thing, is this all about saving his sister still?
Well, I guess that's the new focus for him. Is that to save his sister, he's done this.
Oh, this is why he's doing
that's
this.
That's why he's become who he is now.
Yeah, this is the explanation.
It's always an explanation for why he's at where he is.
Where
right
he's
now.
At. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, that's great, dude. Yeah. I didn't even notice that. Yeah. I love that.
Right away, I was like, to save my sister. I rewinded it. I was like, let me hear that again.
I love that attention to the detail. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's very good.
So what happened in this show? Whoa, what didn't happen? Roz is training Ali in the beginning.
Yeah.
And kind of brainwashing him at the same time.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was interesting. My question, so I had a couple questions about that opening scene. It was kind of a montage of him, you know, they're sparring with swords and with a circle of torches. And then he's also being shackled in isolation with, was that audio being played through? Did you listen to the audio? It kept saying, Oliver Queen is a memory. Oliver Queen is no more.
I thought it was just a voiceover.
I don't know if that, but who was that? Was it a voiceover? Maybe
I don't
was.
Think it was a speaker because I don't think Nanda Parbat has that
There's
kind
no
of tech.
Electricity there. Is there?
they literally, I'm just going to go right into this. So,
yeah.
Like in Nanda Parbat, not even Nanda Parbat, but just the league itself. So whenever they like, even when they go to Star City, I wrote this down.
Yeah.
That place, so skipping ahead, they capture Lila or whatever, but that place where they're holding it, some random warehouse, but you notice there's like fire pits set up.
Oh yeah. No, well, you know what?
Are these fire pits already there?
No.
Are they just lighting them? Or are they like transporting fire pits to wherever they go, setting them up and then like doing their
shit?
This
is what it is. An organization such as the League would be smart enough to hire a really good interior designer on retainer that can travel with them to when she location scouts a warehouse and she goes to Roz. Roz, I got a good place. We can put in your torches. We can bring in some shit here. Let me know. Leave me an email and I'll go ahead with plans. Roz, you know, he writes it back. He goes, all right, that sounds good. Yeah. Just bill me.
Send me the schematics.
And then she goes to Home Depot and she buys a couple of those fucking things with the outdoor torches and sets everything up. And then she'll call and be like, okay, it's set.
It's just ridiculous.
I got to go do a wedding now, but if you need anything, just let me know. I got a guy. I can send it back.
There always happens to be fire pits. Nanda Parbat, I can understand because maybe that's a fixed location. So they're like, this is how we want to provide light inside of our building. Yeah. But when they go to other cities and do it, I'm like, what are you doing here?
No, so there's got to be a semi-trailer with fucking a whole set that just follows them around.
Yeah.
They're like, look, we really have to match the mood. It's called branding, people. Yeah. How are they going to know that they are being held hostage by the goddamn League if there's no goddamn fire pit set up? This ain't no two-bit horseshit.
This ain't a two-bit operation.
I think Roz gets really upset when he's like, look, the ones at Nana Prevent are green. These are orange. What don't you understand?
Yeah.
Just match it. That's all I ask. It's a little continuity.
Yeah. So this whole episode is basically, we're seeing Ollie as a villain.
In the beginning, right away, they give us a little tease of Ollie killing Diggle.
Yeah.
He's apparently Roz has dosed him with this herb, and he finds a guy and he tells him, look, we found this guy, intruder, takes the hood off, it's fucking Diggle.
Yeah.
And Diggle's like, no, they're lying to you. I've been here this whole time being tortured.
He doesn't hesitate killing him either.
And he does not hesitate killing him, at which point he turns him over and we see it's just some fucking random dude.
Yeah.
And it was a hallucination. But I was like,
Oh shit.
He would kill Diggle if he had the chance, without hesitation.
I'm still kind of wondering, like, is Ollie just playing them? Which I think he is.
Dude, Diggle says it later, too. I was going to ask you, is Oliver gone? Is he really, truly gone?
I don't think he is.
Diggle himself, Felicity's like, look, is he gone? And
I think this is John's a deep, like deep undercover.
You think this is a really long con ploy?
Yeah,
dude, he's playing it well because he is being a little bit of an ass right now. But, you know, certain things he does also makes me think that he's playing the con.
Yeah, what are they?
But then there are things that he does that I'm like, oh fuck, he is gone. Like the fight where Nyssa is on the rooftop, on the same rooftop where Sarah was killed. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great, great moment, great juxtaposition. And he has her at sword point on the neck at the edge, and then you hear,
oh shit,
the fucking sonic cry.
Oh yeah,
Black Canary, first time, shatters the glass, Diggle's there, guns on him, and they're like, we're not going to let you do this, you know, and so I was like, what Ollie does here is going to be telling. What does he do? He calmly turns, just steps off the roof.
Oh no, he jumps off the roof.
No, he doesn't even jump, dude. Yeah. He just walks off the roof.
Yeah.
He just steps off the roof, calmly, like no words, and I was like, huh, he doesn't want to hurt them.
No.
He doesn't want to hurt them. He doesn't want to engage
them. He's dragging this out.
He doesn't want to engage him. And the fact that he has to kill Nyssa because she's the heir. Here's the other thing. Is there a Talia in this fucking universe?
Oh, dude, you've been talking about Talia for a while.
But does she exist as his daughter here?
Because
she would also be an heir to the fucking throne of the demon.
Yeah, she would. I don't think they can use her, though. She might be too close to Batman. I don't know. Well, then they're using Roz. So I guess Talia would exist.
What? How does this all fucking coincide? Back to Roz, though.
You know what she's doing? She's banging Bruce Wayne right now. She's banging the little kid from Gotham.
Oh my God, that's a little
creating
scandalous.
A little Damien.
It's gonna be like a fucking one of those newspaper articles.
It's like there's a kid version of her running around, hanging out with Damien on the side.
Wait a minute, this is all confusing. But that show is not happening at the
same
time. Is that show happening at the same time?
That show is happening actually in a wacky dimension.
It's in its own fucking bubble.
The Batman 66 universe.
Yes, and it's its own little bubble. It's just another universe. But back to Roz in the beginning when he's confabbing with Ollie, he mentions a fella, Mr. Damian Dark.
Okay.
Remember that whole bit? This is a big thing because I think this guy is going to be
oh, yes, yes.
the villain for next season.
Roz's rival created And he hive. He keeps saying hive.
He's
hive,
like he
hive.
Has a. He actually says he has a hive of agents.
Yes, they will. I think this is a tease for and the next.
So basically, that they had both started in the league together. They were very close. They were brothers. But the league had picked Damian to be the heir, and Roz didn't like this and decided to kill him.
No, I thought it was they picked Roz to be the heir.
No, they picked Damian, and Roz was going to kill Damian, and Roz hesitated. Damian escaped, and he's been fucking with him.
Oh, yeah.
He took some water from the Lazarus pit, and he's escaped, and he's been a nuisance for me ever since. He goes, he even tried to buy Malcolm's earthquake machine. He was involved in all these other things. So, like, they could cleverly set him up as a guy who's been doing all the shit from the beginning of season one that we're just finding out about.
He may even show up and, like, help them out at the end.
Damian?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take out Roz. Enemy of my enemy, man.
And then that's when Roz tells Ollie, there's another heir to the throne, and you have to take her out. Now, I'm going to name drop Kara again, because she
Kara.
Kara.
Game Day Kara,
who gave us the thing about Caitlyn last week, how subtly she brought up another point, and I was like, oh,
quit. Shit.
Oh, I really was.
Oh, shit.
Huh. Now, follow me for a second, peoples. Could it be possible that the Damian Dark will turn out to be
Geek Boner,
Felicity's father?
Where do you go? How's that happen?
Because they mentioned that he was into computer hacking and gadgets.
Oh.
That was so. Why that? I think because in the comic books there is a character, a mysterious, elusive character named Damian Dark.
Okay.
He's claimed to be a major player in America's underworld. He's connected to Hive, and he also seems to have access to high-tech, unique equipment that has never been used by any known organization.
And you think it's her father?
His whole thing is that he is a tech criminal.
Oh. I mean, that's a stretch. It's not much of a stretch when you think about it.
And he was on Teen Titans, and he was shot to death by Vandal Savage. But
we'll see.
He has he's like a tech criminal guy, and that's how he in the comic book. So like I'm like, whoa, that would make sense. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's crazy speculation,
hey,
people.
Hey, that's what you get when you get fucking crazy speculation when you listen to the show. I liked the Nyssa being out of fish out of water stuff. I thought that was funny.
That was cute. And even Laurel's like, I like seeing you like a normal person. I love that she showed her how to dip her French fries in a milkshake.
And then she's just like, what is this? Bag box of grease or whatever. What the hell?
It's more grease than potato. And she's like, it's pretty good. But then, you know, Laurel had not told her what Oliver's decision. And Nyssa was pissed. And I don't disagree with Nyssa.
I'm tired of these fuckers not telling
just
each other shit.
Especially when it directly involves you.
Yeah, just tell people stuff.
Because Nyssa's basically like, what? You're telling me now? Do you realize that means that I have to die?
Yeah.
That he's coming after me?
Yeah.
You could have fucking given me a heads up before.
Yeah, I don't know why they do this.
Why don't they just go? I mean, Laurel said, look, I enjoyed
it. At least she apologized.
She totally, she's like, I'm sorry, you were having such a good time. Yeah. You know, I wanted you to enjoy this a little bit more. Fine, but this is in a fucking shitty position after finding that out. She's like, oh, well, he's coming to kill me then.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get ready over here and you guys could do whatever you want.
So I liked this up. I liked seeing Ollie in this new role because it's different. It was weird having him kidnap Lila and then like have Diggle.
I can't believe he kidnapped Lila, dude. Is he really gone? Like, what the fuck?
And then you see Thea.
That was
save
great.
The day.
Yeah.
That's crazy too, where she shoots an arrow through his arm and then she's like, she threatens to kill him. Basically.
Well, again, he was going to kill Diggle again. Like I'm like, oh shit, he's going to do it. Like he's gone. And then suddenly you see Thea as a fucking
archer.
You know, Malcolm helped her out because she called him over and he's like, what do you need from me? And clearly that's what she wanted. He's like, set me up with this equipment. And she goes, the next one's through your eye. I was like, fuck, dude. Yeah. She ain't fucking around.
He ain't fucking around either.
And again, he just leaves. Mm-hmm. He does not engage. So I'm confused.
Yeah, I still think he's playing the long game. I have to think.
He hasn't actually... Well, he did kill a random dude.
Did he?
The guy in the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
So he killed someone.
He's back to killing again.
But is he all the way turned? What is going on?
It's good.
How is he going to be the arrow?
I had to... So when he's about to kill Nyssa, and they do the switch, and he has Nyssa, and he's about to kill her, and Roz stops him. I literally, I don't think I was supposed to laugh, but I did laugh when Roz suggests that Nyssa and Ollie need to get married.
Oh yeah, that was a great twist at the end.
I mean, I don't know if I would call it. I mean, it was cool, like not cool, but like a like a different, like, whoa, that even was, but I literally laughed.
It was kind of a cheesy CW twist.
I found it to be not even cheesy. No? It was just ridiculous. I was like, oh, no, like, I wanted you to hunt her now. Yeah, I want you guys to get married.
Well, but again, he was about to fucking kill her.
Yeah.
He was going to straight stab her. And Roz goes, okay, no, that's cool. I buy it. Very like Abraham and God with his son story.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I buy it. You're in. You've definitely. He's like, instead, I want you guys to be married. You're going to be bride of the demon.
After laughing, though, I was like, damn, Ollie's got another girl that he's probably going to have sex with on the CW.
Yeah, he's banging everybody on the show.
Another attractive lady.
But how much does Roz hate his daughter? First, he wanted to kill her. And she's like, I'd rather die than be his wife.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you have no choice.
Yeah.
You're going to be the fucking bride.
Yeah. Well, they want to like reunite the family.
Yeah, it's kind of like a very Game of Thrones thing. Yeah. Like, combine the queens and the Al Ghuls now.
That's so funny. I just found it funny. But I literally was like, ha!
Man, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did. And then you learn that to the initiation, the last thing is they have to destroy a city.
That was badass.
And Roz had destroyed a city in Alexandria,
so
Egypt.
So this
right?
is my question. He goes, my predecessor destroyed ancient Egypt with cholera in 1609. That doesn't necessarily mean he was Roz since 1609.
No.
That's when he started.
Yeah.
That's when that guy started. Yeah. Okay.
That's not Roz. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love so it ties into the flashback where he pulls out the
finally,
vial.
There's a test.
Yes. This is where this has been going the whole time. The Alpha Omega weapon. He's like, take this. You got to purge Starling City.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck.
That was a great cliffhanger.
That's great. Those two things put together was crazy. The flashback real quick was, again, them
trying to get everyone out.
Yeah, the virus is starting to drop everyone in Hong Kong. People are dying left and right. But surprisingly, our heroes are completely left untouched. They're running through the crowd. People are dropping. Nothing's happening to them.
No.
Until...
Oh, I think they got the vaccine.
Oh, they did get the vaccine. I forgot about that. Anyways, Kitana wants to get her son. And they get the son and they grab a car. And as they're driving away, they leave us with a shot of the son and blood is dripping out of his mouth.
He did.
He ain't going to make it.
No.
I don't think they have any vaccine
left.
But
that's where the Alpha Omega's been around since then.
Since 5 years ago. Yeah. Somebody's been developing this thing. How the fuck did Roz get it?
I don't know.
So was he working with Argus at some point? Yeah, they were.
No, well, Alpha Omega was from General Shriver.
Right.
So I don't know. Roz has one now. And it was in... So Nyssa had ran away with the Alpha Omega in her sword.
Oh, that's what was in the sword.
That's why Roz was after her. Better.
That's what my other question was when he starts talking about... I love that bit where he's like, you know, when she was a girl, she used to steal a lot of things. And I had to make her known that you can't hide anything from Roz. Yeah. And as he's saying that, he unscrews the handle. Yeah. And I was like... Wait, what the fuck is that? I didn't get it. It was the Alpha Omega. So she's had that the whole time?
She knew that whoever the heir was, she wasn't going to do it. Like she knew that she wasn't going to get chosen as the heir, so she took it.
So that person cannot cleanse Starling City or whatever city, whoever it is. Yeah. Wow. She's been holding on to that shit. Wow. That even makes it better. I got to mention one thing. Did you notice where when that scene where they show up to Dig's house and Lila's gone and the phone rings and it's Oliver?
Yeah.
He goes, and only people in Chicago are going to be like, this is
Fullerton and Halston.
He goes, meet us in the warehouse on Fullerton and Halston. Yeah. I was like, are they in Chicago?
Yeah, I was
now,
like, whoa.
Here's the thing, right? Okay, so ER would do this all the time. They would mention two streets, but I noticed that when they mentioned two streets, a cross street, they mentioned two parallel streets. They would do this all the time.
ER would?
Yes, they would pick two streets parallel that never cross. They go the same way.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, this is an actual location.
No, Fullerton and Halston.
Fullerton and Halston is an actual place in Chicago.
I actually lived in, when I lived in Lincoln Park, Fullerton. I've
and I believe
been
there's,
on Lincoln,
there's some
and
warehouses around there. Are there? No, it's mostly, it's Lincoln Park.
Lincoln
isn't
Park.
It?
It's
yeah,
more
it's
Lincoln
mostly
Park.
Residential.
Residential and like shops Weird. And stuff.
Do you think somebody on the show is from Chicago? Why would they pick those names?
I mean,
this is just coincidence?
No, yeah, someone's got to be in from Chicago. It's got
to
be.
I love that. Nobody's going to get that. Nobody will get that except for.
Well, the state that listens to us the most will probably get that.
Shout out Illinois.
Yeah. I think that's it for the show. It was good. I'm intrigued to see where it's going with Ollie. I like Ollie in this new role. I don't want to see him in forever, but in this role right now, it at least made things a little interesting.
I like in the next clip, we finally get to see Kitana in costume. I saw briefly, and that gave me
geek boner. Boner?
That was exciting.
You know, her costume, though, is pretty ridiculous.
I know, but it's iconic.
It is, but then, I mean, like, let's say it's, an like, if you were, like, an American, would you, we are Americans, but would you wear an American flag domino mask on your face?
Instead of a
Japanese flag domino mask?
The Japanese flag looks fucking cooler.
It is cool, but
it looks way cooler.
Why
it's
would you
just
wear that on
a
your
white
face?
Mask with a red dot. It could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be her chi. It could represent her third eye.
It's the Japanese
and represent
flag.
Japan at the same time.
It's the sun.
I don't know why. I always thought I found it very graphic and very striking.
It's cool in the comics. I just don't know about. I will see how it plays out.
It's going to be very bright. It'll stick out. Yeah. Like just in that quick clip, I was like, "Whoa, there's her mask!" Yeah. Like it's going to stick out. But I've been waiting for her to put the fucking mask on.
Yeah,
to be the katana.
To be the katana.
Be
we know
the katana. Oh yeah, I think that's it. I mean, it's solid. I don't know where Ollie.
It's still to me not as good as season two.
What the, yeah, I mean, yeah, there, this Damien Dark is, thing is interesting. I'm still very intrigued. Is Oliver turned? There's going to be lots of flashbacks. How are they going to deal with him when he heads back to Starling City?
I'm very curious.
He's going back to Starling City as this guy now. What are they going to think of him? Are they letting him in?
And he's a wanted man in Starling City, and he's going to come back and try to destroy it.
But it looks like he's helping out Flash in the future in the crossover. So what the fuck? He's redeemed already? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
That's we'll, why you have to think it's a deep undercover.
We'll find out when you guys find out.
Yep.
All right. That's good for the shows. We got a couple of bits. A
couple little things here.
A couple of bits, and we'll wrap it up. So we had some feedback
again,
real quick. Yeah, which is great. Peter Soltz sent us an email simply stating, freaking awesome.
Oh, I had no idea this email came from who?
Yeah, Peter Soltz.
Who's that?
He works upstairs.
Oh, okay.
But he took the time to write, freaking awesome. He listened.
That's cool.
So thank you, Peter, for writing in. Our buddy Ray, also,
We've gotten feedback from him before.
Yeah, he sent us an email before. This time he sent us, our emails, you can send us an email, show@jockandnerd.com. Nice. Ray sent us a tweet at Jock and Nerdcast.
Right.
And his tweet says, at WL Ray says, came across this list. I'd love to hear your rankings. And what it is Yahoo has put, there is bombastic title with, here's the definitive ranking of best superhero TV series right now.
Okay, Caitlin Thomas.
Okay, I mean, first of all.
The writer of this.
Caitlin Thomas write it. So, definitive, I don't know. The shows aren't over.
Yeah.
Best, there's shows that aren't on this list. You know, they only mentioned six. There's more than six shows. They're not on TV right now, so I can excuse.
Well, I can say that these six shows are probably the ones to rank.
These are the big ones. And
as far as
how do you want to do this? You want me to read their ranking first?
No. Well, you can just see the rankings. So they have. Well, yeah, I'll just tell them.
We'll put a notes in this to the show notes. But real quick, starting, we'll count down to one.
Yeah.
This is how they rank the shows.
And we're not going to rank the shows yet, Ray, or any of our listeners, because I don't feel like it's fair to rank the shows.
No,
we're
you
not
need
done.
Full seasons. Yeah. You need full seasons, because shit happens.
This is what this lady's done.
So, she number six, she starts with Gotham.
Oh, big fucking surprise.
Not a surprise there. I'll say so far, I have to agree.
Yeah.
Let's go back. I'm going to read them all real quick. So,
five.
It goes five, Arrow.
Arrow.
Four.
Four, I believe, is on there.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming in at three for her, Agent Carter. Number two, The Flash. Yeah. Number one, Daredevil. Now, I agree with a lot of things. I agree with the top and bottom spot. Do you agree, Anthony?
I would have to agree with the top and bottom spot.
Okay.
But, like I said, it's not fair to rank these shows yet when the seasons aren't finished.
Okay, Gotham, I think you can leave at the bottom.
But
I don't
I'm saying
think...
like Flash and Arrow and
okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yes.
They can, those rankings can jumble around.
True. I mean, I
could still see Flash taking over Daredevil.
Dude, I feel
Daredevil.
Flash and Daredevil is almost tied depending on
your
taste.
Yes.
They're both equally fucking entertaining and satisfying for different reasons.
Right.
I'd still give a little bit the edge to Daredevil because of its unfair
advantage. I'm giving Daredevil a slight edge, but could change.
But what these people have done with a network show, with network parameters on The Flash, is nothing short of awesome for the geek fan and for creating new geek fans.
Right.
Because they literally treating everyone as if they're in on this and they're along for the ride. And now, you know, you feel like you know something about comic book culture without, you know, feeling like an idiot.
Right.
It's great.
We'll get into this more in another episode when these shows are over.
So Agent Carter, my only problem with like doing this is that like Arrow is too close to Gotham for me.
Yeah. But it's like
that's
it's
not fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you had to put it somewhere.
And then would you rank Carter over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know.
Again, S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't finished.
S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't
finished. Carter was great, but it was only 8.
Here's the thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this is just one of my thoughts on, I think, finally it's picking up again, but I thought the first half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season was really good.
Yeah.
I think up until that the mid-season break. Finale.
Okay.
When Trip after, dies.
Up until right before all the Inhuman shit hits the
But
fan.
When the Inhuman stuff, it's interesting, yes, but the show is totally slowed down.
Huh.
In my opinion.
Interesting.
It's only starting to get, that's why these past few episodes, we've been like, oh, it's getting good. Like there's a lot of moving parts because it's picked back up again. Well, for a while, they've been in like a holding pattern almost.
Well, so then this is a pacing issue with network shows because right. Gotham kind of did the same thing. After the break, it was kind of awkwardy. It took time to build back up. Now it's moving.
You know, you didn't like that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was as low as Gotham, but you just made a reference that they're basically doing the
just
same thing.
Just in terms of, but you know what else? I always see these weird parallels.
Yeah.
So in The Flash and in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, there was that scene where the bad guy has gotten away and he's calling you from the street somewhere and he's telling you everything.
That was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Ward, the end, yeah. Calls Coulson and he's just on some random street. He's like, I gotta go, take care of 33. Oh, yeah. Wells at the end calls the team. Yeah. You don't know where he is. He's like, sorry, I love working with you guys. We'll meet again soon.
You're right.
It's this just weird parallel. So, you know, I think people just have the same ideas at the same time.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Let's talk about the last thing that popped up literally as we were recording
right,
this.
So
my friend Irwin in our group me put this out and I turned Imran onto this. And it's the cast of Suicide Squad in full costume.
Who tweeted this out?
David Ayer.
The director. Yeah. Breaking news. It is
of this in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. jockandnerd.com/9. Basically, they're standing in front of a wall that says, Welcome to Bell Rev.
It's like Task Force X, and, which is the Suicide Squad.
And, this is very interesting. I almost didn't recognize Will Smith.
Well, he's bald.
For a second. Yeah, and he looks like he's gained some weight. Like, he's bulked up. He seems
He's always been that big.
Really?
Ever since the movie Ali, he's been pretty big.
Oh, he's jacked up.
Yeah.
We got to see Harley finally.
She looks great.
This is the first time we've seen Harley Quinn, right? In live action. Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
It's not over the top. She's the only one who's actually smiling in the picture.
Yeah.
It's great. Should we say who's in this? Who the characters are?
Yeah, just say who.
Suicide Squad, we have Adam Beach playing Slipknot. Jai Courtney playing Boomerang, Karen Fukuhara playing Katana, Cara Delevingne playing Enchantress, Joel Kinnaman is Rick Flagg, Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn, Will Smith is Deadshot, Adele Akinyi Agbaje.
You may need to get your sister to pronounce that one.
Yeah, if you could call it with the pronunciation. Anyways, he's Killer Croc, and he's like, you don't even know what's under that makeup. And Jay Hernandez playing a character called
El
Diablo.
You know Adewale Akunyi, that guy?
Yeah.
He played, in Thor the Dark World, he played the huge guy that was Malekith's, like, the Accursed.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, it's almost similar makeup. You didn't really see him in that movie either.
Yeah,
I don't know what this motherfucker looks like. Yeah. So Killer Croc, he looks like a bruiser with like...
He looks like Frankenstein.
Yeah, I mean, can I zoom in on this somewhere?
Zoom the fuck in on that.
He,
bitch.
I don't think it does.
Poor bastard.
And then I don't know, I'm not familiar with Slipknot or El Diablo.
El Diablo, I have no idea. Rick Flagg, I'm not even all that familiar with.
Rick Flagg is kind of like the G.I. Joe, evil G.I. Joe version. Boomerang has got a little bit of his signature blue on him. The Enchantress looks like the girl from the fucking ring.
Right.
Like, she looks really scary.
Katana looks just like Katana.
There's the Katana mask, another version
mask.
Of it.
Which is funny that they're doing it.
Right?
It's just so weird.
There's going to be two katanas. We got two Quicksilvers. Yeah. We're going to have two Flashes.
This is another Deadshot.
We got two Deadshots now.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But so looking at this picture, now think of like Batman and Superman. Does this fit that world?
It's got the same fucking color palette.
Yeah, it's very washed out.
It's all gray, dark. Just whites, highlight white. There's blue and red on Harley Quinn and Katana.
But nothing brighter than, well, I mean, obviously they have white, but nothing brighter than like red.
Deadshot's
got
red a little
is,
bit.
Red is very
muted
washed out.
Red, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a fun picture. I'm really excited to see the Enchantress.
Really?
Yeah, only because I love Justice League Dark and the Vertigo issues, and she comes. She's friends with Constantine. She's friends with all those crew, Swamp Thing, all that.
Yeah.
So, it, like, that brings in the mystical part of the universe that maybe they can bring in somewhere.
I mean, this is going to introduce a lot of.
But this is
characters in the DC universe.
This is a movie about villains.
The movie about villains.
Oh, but they're set up to do the right thing. It's their last chance kind of thing.
That's the whole point of the Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah. Who the fuck is Slipknot? And it's like.
Why'd Slipknot's actually a retarded, not a retarded band, but a band.
I know.
it's a weird band.
I don't know the character. And like, he's wearing like a, what is that?
Who?
Slipknot.
Oh, he's wearing like a Letterman's jacket.
Yeah, he's got a Letterman's jacket
and
on.
Some sweats.
Did he just pick him up from high school?
And he's got it's like he literally is from the band Slipknot.
And then Al Diablo is just this like Native American looking dude with a gun and rope and shit on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's gotten me intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be an interesting movie for sure.
Check out the, there's a link in the show notes and the picture will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
And you guys, we want you guys to be part of the show.
Yeah.
So before we leave, I'm just going to reiterate one more time. Call the voicemail line, 312-248-4376. That's 312-248-HERO, and leave us your thoughts. We'll play it on the show. We'd be ever so appreciative. Let us know what you think.
You can also email us at show@jockandnerd.com. You can tweet at us at jockandnerdcast. We're also on Clamor with that same...
Yeah, we talked about Clamor earlier, so that same thing. Just search Jock and Nerd or use that Clamor.
We're also on Facebook. You can look us up.
Facebook.com/JockandNerd.
You can just look it up.
And, you know, really, so if you want to help the show, there's a couple things you can do. Very easy. You can go to JockandNerd.com/review and leave us a review and a rating.
Yeah,
and
great.
Let me just say this. Anthony, look around this room real quick. What do you see in here?
Man, I'm going to look around and I see a bunch of fucking comics.
There's a lot of comic books in here. I have a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's 13 short boxes full of comic books, a lot of Marvel issues. All of them have their digital download code. Now, if you're not aware, Marvel puts a digital code in every issue you buy, so you can download it on their app on the iPad. Now, here's the bribe that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. For the month of May, if you would leave us a review... and I can find your email address from your review, I will send everyone a random Marvel digital code. And I will send instructions how you do it. It's very easy. All you do is you go to their website, you create an account, you put in the code, then you download the app, and it's right there, and you can read random issues of Marvel Comics. Jabbo. Jabbo's angry.
You write out the review on iTunes, you get a free comic.
That's basically
that's
it.
Awesome.
Free digital comic. I think, let's see what happens. I'm willing to part with all of these.
Yeah.
Because why? Why am I holding on to them?
Yeah.
Jabbo, shut it!
That's okay.
I think there's an intruder.
Probably.
I think that means we should wrap it up.
We should wrap this up.
My name's Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we'll hear you next time. I'm looking at you, Northumberland.
Yeah, you.